Cubs host Miami again at Wrigley. White Sox play in Tampa Bay. NHL Stanley Cup, the Nashville Predators tied the series up 2-2 with a 4-1 win over the Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service. On this 73rd anniversary of D-Day, June 6th, should be a sunny and pleasant day. The high is 73 degrees. Here are the numbers now. Sunshine and 59 degrees. A little breeze from the north at 8 miles per hour. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg. Up next. Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Frank Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and one of the hosts of the WGTD morning show.
And we welcome you to the Tuesday morning show on WGTD-HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. Today is the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, making his way across the hall to join us. And we're going to be having a very interesting conversation about Gateway's Urban Forestry Program, which is a groundbreaking program and has generated a lot of conversation and praise. And we have two people who are going to be talking with us about that. But first, we welcome Brian Albrecht back to the program.
Thank you, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
We have all kinds of activity here in the hall and here in the building, and it's just another reminder that summer does not slow down here at Gateway.
I'm so excited. Every time I come to this building, something's changing. I think we mentioned in our earlier program, we're turning the Bioscience Center into the Inspire Center, which will be the home for our human patient simulator training. And that is so important because, as we know, healthcare continues to be a growing industry in our region. And as Gateway expands our program services for nurses and all different aspects of healthcare, trying to identify clinical and best practices can be a challenge. So the Human Patient Simulator Center will represent a hospital, and we'll have different clinic sites in there where students will be able to work on human robots. So I'm really excited about that every day. So far, they haven't taken my parking spot, so I'm feeling good about that. But
right.
You're right. It's summer, and I couldn't be more excited. We're into our fourth week already of our summer term. That's how fast it goes. We tend to go on a three-semester calendar here at Gateway, so before we even have graduation, we start our summer term. And the goal there is that students would be able to compress their education and get their degree sooner and maybe even be into the workforce ahead of other colleges that might graduate. So we try to give our students an advantage there. And most importantly, I think it creates greater points of accessibility. So students that are graduating from high school can start a summer term. Industry doesn't shut down in the summer, so we try to find ways to make sure that our education training programs continue to flourish.
And of course, outside of even just all the classes going on, there are events even outside the classroom that also keep this place really hopping in the summertime.
Oh my gosh, summer camps, good example. I think we have 9 different summer camps going on this year. We're building robots over at the IMED Center. Race cars are being built over at the Horizon Center. We'll have a human anatomy class, a CSI crime scene class, all kinds of really great activities for elementary school children to come in and explore future careers and really become engaged in a summer activity that's built around educational best practices. Last week, we held our College Foundation golf outing, which is always a big event, a lot of fun, raised some money for scholarships, which is critical. We were awarded over 200 scholarships last year, and without the support of our community and special events like that, we wouldn't have the resources to do it. And I think everyone probably knows by now that my team took last place again this year. That'll be a consistent 7 years in a row.
Oh boy.
But this year, actually, Snap-on took first place, so a big shout-out to Scott Broman and his team. They did a great job, and we host a lot of events. We'll host the National Training Conference for NC3, the National Coalition of Certification Centers. We have 150 instructors already registered for that event.
Wow.
We're going to hit 35 states. We'll be here. And then 2 of those days, we'll also invite college administrators. So about 110 college presidents, upper-level administration, to learn how Gateway works with its local businesses to create pathways of certification for industry skill credentialing, which will be really important for our conversation today.
Terrific. Of course, the last time you were here, we were talking about Gateway's own graduation exercises, right, and had the keynote speaker joining us for a wonderful conversation. It probably would be a big surprise to a lot of people to know that Gateway is also very deeply involved in all of the high school graduations going on in this season. Explain what that connection is.
You know, it's a really good point because many people might not realize that statutorily, so by state statute, Gateway is required and expected to provide services to students at age 16 years or older. So we have programs like a youth apprenticeship program, a youth options program, course options programs, which allow students while they're in high school to take college courses. Many of those courses are offered right at the high school through a partnership with teacher to professional development and helping high school teachers earn credentialing to teach college courses through an adjunct instructor agreement. And some are offered here. Students will leave their high school, come to Gateway, take courses here, and begin their pathway. And the last 2 years, we've been really building out our Gateway Promise program, which helps create an affordability path for many students that may not have been able to access Gateway. But this time of year, so busy with helping create relationships with high schools. I can just share a couple of great examples. I was at Tremper High School in Kenosha last week and awarded a scholarship to a young person, $2,000, to attend Gateway in a nursing program. We have a presidential scholarship at every high school, so somewhere along the line, every high school is going to have a Gateway scholarship available to them. And we just recently had the graduation over at Lakeview Academy, which is a partnership with the Kenosha School Districts where students starting their junior year can take Gateway courses that lead directly into our engineering programs. Just to give you some numbers, Greg, on this, we awarded to that graduating class 1,309 college credits just to one class of one high school students.
Wow.
That, in financial terms, that would save parents about $170,000 of tuition that they didn't have to pay. So across the three counties, over 3,500 high school students are taking Gateway College credits and saving families nearly $1 million in tuition. So it's really important that we continue to reach into our high schools and provide those types of services and ultimately help people find their pathway, young and adult, young people and adults through Gateway. So, yeah, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, and a win-win for
Right, exactly.
Absolutely. We should say that as we have our conversation, our listeners are likely going to hear a little clanking and banging in the background, and that is because of the aforementioned work that's going on in this building right beneath us, actually. So once
sometimes it startles me when they do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's nothing to be alarmed about. We don't think the robots are up in revolt yet.
Right.
So, but anyway, so that good work is going on. But we have something important to talk about in the next few minutes, namely Gateway's Urban Forestry Program. First of all, explain what prompted you to want to devote an entire morning show to this.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are so many different career paths at the college already. I mean, we offer 100 different certification programs, 65 associate degree programs, many articulation into the baccalaureate degree program. So it's hard to pick any one of them and say, well, that's what Gateway does, because we do that and we do this as well. You know, we have surgical technology and we have aviation. So we have all kinds of different career paths. And our horticulture program, which is pretty well recognized in our community for many years, and we've done a lot of work. Now it's called the Pike Creek Center, and we work with Baco Tools and industry credentialing, and you know, we have programs in soil management. And 2 years ago, we started building out our raised bed gardens and started an urban farming program.
And I just want to say, we just had Kate Jerome on the program a couple days ago, and it was always fun to have her here, and she kind of laid out some of the specifics, and I'd forgotten, actually, what a wide-ranging program it is. It's terrific.
It's fantastic. And so as we are building all of this out on the back end of the property in Kenosha, we have a pretty dense wooded area, and it always needed some maintenance. And I don't know who said it first, but along the way we said, we should just figure out how we can clean this up back here. And ironically, around that same time, we were approached by the Wisconsin Arborist Association for, again, a lack of skilled workers in this profession. The only program available in Wisconsin was up at Mid-State Technical College and up at UW-Stevens Point area.
Wow.
So there wasn't really anything that we could offer in our region. So through a great partnership with the association and local horticulture organizations, and you're going to have a chance to hear some of the nursery perspectives on all this today, we decided it was time that Southeast Wisconsin had a training program as well. And so we spent, gosh, a year and a half kind of conceptualizing it, and so fortunate to have Aaron, who you're going to hear from in a few minutes, our instructor, to agree to be our champion, and he's been developing curriculum, and we are ready to launch the program and provide another really unique and exciting and rewarding career path for folks in the arborist industry.
Well, everybody loves trees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the world needs trees, right. And so this is a great thing for us to be talking about. So we have two guests with us. You already mentioned Aaron Schauer, who is or going to be an instructor in Gateway's Urban Forestry Program. And then right next to you, Jeff Wilson. And explain why Jeff Wilson is here.
Jeff has been a great friend of Gateway for many years, serves on the advisory committee for the horticulture program. I probably personally got to know him a little bit better when a few years ago Gateway was gifted a tree that's called the Survivor Tree, and we built out an arboretum area. So we've been working really hard on trying to make sure that we maintain that presence, not only of that tree, but of everything in the arboretum, because we're creating an outdoor learning lab for our students so that they have access to a unique variety of different trees. And Jeff has been a real strong advocate for helping us figure out how to do that, and championing and supporting Kate and all of the other folks to give access to our students through internships, co-ops, field trips, all types of different things. And now is probably one of our leading spokes representatives for the urban forestry program. As you'll hear later, there's a direct need for employees in his company as well, but understands the industry. And, I mean, I didn't understand it, so I'm learning an awful lot. Aaron is the expert, and he'll drive it for us, but hard to make kind of leadership decisions if you don't know anything, so you got to lean on your community to bring that resource to you.
Absolutely. Well, this is great. We're glad to have both of you here. So, Aaron Schauer, tell us a little bit about your own background ahead of coming to Gateway and when you came aboard here at Gateway to help with this urban forestry program.
Thanks, Craig. I just wanted to say I'm really excited to be on the program today, and thank you, Brian, for having us on. It's a real honor, and it's real exciting. I've been a longtime fan of WPR and enjoy listening to the programming. So for myself, my background started at UW-Stevens Point. I'm actually a twice graduate of Stevens Point. I got my Bachelor's of Science from there in Urban Forestry in 2003, and it was such a great experience. I went back for my Master's there in 2011. And a lot of my career has been spent as a climbing arborist. So what I would do is go out and work with actual residents. They'd call up a company that I was working with and need tree care. They wouldn't be certain what they should do with their trees. So we'd come out, look at, provide some recommendations, look at how we could help them out, and then proceed with usually some pruning, removal of trees that were sick, diseased, or problematic, and then figuring out how we can help keep the trees healthy. So a lot of my time has been spent actually up in the trees. Along with that, something that I found a passion for within this industry is traveling. I've spent a lot of time working in other areas. I actually worked for a year and a half over in New Zealand. And then I spent a year working out in Southern California, and then a summer in Chicago and a summer in Phoenix. So I've kind of used this industry as a way to get around and see a lot of cool sights as well.
And a lot of cool trees, I should think.
Yeah. Some amazing trees.
So what prompted your interest in trees in the first place? I mean, were you someone who just kind of loved the outdoors and it just sort of morphed into trees, or is your pathway into this passion from someplace else?
Hey, that's a great question. Thanks. A lot of my interest initially started growing up at a home that had about 13 acres of woods. I'd go out in the woods. I enjoyed working with my dad. I enjoyed cutting trees. Sometimes they went the way they were supposed to, not always. And we didn't always do things the right way back then. That's part of learning, is you learn what's the correct way eventually. And so a lot of my interest sparked from that. And I knew that when I got out, I wanted to do something that was outdoors. I didn't want to sit behind a desk. I wanted to be outside, working within nature, enjoying being in sunshine and other elements. And so I knew I didn't want to be inside, and that's what really prompted me then to pursue urban forestry. I knew I enjoyed trees. I didn't want to be out in the middle of nowhere. I liked being in an urban area, so it was a great fit.
Mm. You know, I always find it intriguing because if you ask someone generally, so what do you think of when you say Wisconsin, they might think of the Green Bay Packers, or they might say cheese and, you know, brats and all of that. But really, when you think of Wisconsin as America's dairy land, and you think about what that entails, it's really the agriculture industry, which is heavily focused on the paper product industry. Mm. It's not elevated quite as high as it might be in order to really celebrate what Aaron's talking about, and that connection that we have in Wisconsin to nature, and the way that it's been leveraged now as an economic advantage for our state. Whether it's the paper science industry, the agriculture industry, you know, there's so many different aspects of it. We enjoy our Great Lakes, but only because we have great forests around them, right?
And one thing I might add to that, too, that's kind of one of the fantastic parts, is oftentimes we think of forestry within the state. One of the cool things about urban forestry is where traditional forestry is going to focus on the product, we focus on keeping the trees healthy and keeping them living as long as we can so we can get the benefits from them. So it's all about keeping trees alive and healthy so we can stay healthy.
Very good. So when did you exactly then come to Gateway, and what exactly was that invitation to you?
Thanks. So I was approached by Gateway last fall to come head up this program. So I came through, and I had interest in teaching for a long time. That was the reason why I actually chose to go back for a master's degree. And so when Gateway approached me, it sounded like an exciting new opportunity. It was something that I was very interested in. So I went through my interviews and then came on board in January. Since then, I've been spending a lot of time getting the curriculum up, figuring out what equipment we need, approaching local industry and getting our advisory committee together, going out and trying to market so we can find students. One of the biggest struggles is that people don't realize that we exist yet. And aside from that, they don't understand what arboriculture is. And so what arboriculture is actually going out within cities and caring for and maintaining trees. But it's kind of a big, long word and, you know, not one that you hear often, which is part of what us as an industry are working on improving.
Right. So more people understand what you are all about.
Yeah, exactly. And aside from that, one of the cool things with this career is where some landscape companies kind of tends to be more seasonal. Our work provides year-round opportunity because we'll climb and work in trees all year round.
Well, with us also is Jeff Wilson, who is the owner of Wachtell Tree Science. But Mr. Wilson, as President Albrecht already mentioned, you have a really strong connection to Gateway that even goes beyond specifically the urban forestry program. Explain what your connection to Gateway has been and continues to be.
Well, I've been involved in recruiting it through the horticulture program for many years, probably too many to remember. But the connection with Gateway more recently was 4 years ago. I was part of that group that came to your office and talked to you about starting a program here. I was on the very beginning of the program of the Mid-State, and for the most part, this is a clone of that. I was advisor to that college. I was advisor to UWSP and been recruiting at both those facilities for years as well as here. And really the last 7 or 8 years of my career has been around trying to take on the biggest problem that our industry has, and that is attracting people into it. And for the most part, that problem is nobody knows about our industry. They hear a chipper down the street and they may drive by it, but the career part of it is really unknown to both students and parents. And it's really myself, along with our association, which is the Tree Care Industry Association. I'm a board member there. You know, we decided as a board 3 years ago to start an effort, a workforce development effort, and hired a very talented person out of Wisconsin, out of Nicolet College, to head that for us. Her name is Bridget Orrick. And you know her well. And she's been on the job for a little bit more than about 14, 15 months now. And along with Gateway's program, there are another 11 programs now that are in one stage or another of development, really based on the initiative that was taken through our board of directors and talking with Brian. And we honestly could probably use 75 to 100 programs like this throughout the country.
Wow.
I just find that so inspiring. I mean, the industry association took the lead, put the resources together to help develop a position to be an advocate for this, to educate colleges on how they could begin programs, because it is a non-traditional type program that you wouldn't automatically think of. So I'm really grateful, Jeff, for the work that your whole team has done to get us on the way, on the right path. And I also find it a little bit ironic because I think every one of us, all of our listeners included, probably had a leaf collection when they were in fourth grade. So there is some element of exposure, but then we leave it at that. I mean, there's an opportunity here to help young people understand career paths that could really be engaging. Like Aaron said, if you like to be outdoors and you're really engaged in how you can leverage your skills and interests as an early child learning about these sciences, how can that turn into a profession, a career, and a lifestyle?
By the way, Mr. Wilson, we really should just take a second and find out what Wachtell Tree Science does. I mean, what is the nature of your specific business, the business you own?
Well, and I have a partner in that ownership as well. But we are the largest and oldest tree care company in the state. We started in 1935. And there are a number of different paths that companies take. And I know that we'll maybe have an opportunity to talk about that. We're what you consider a full-service tree care company. I mean, pretty much anything that involves a tree, we're involved in, from planting to pruning and care for them, bolting, cabling, bracing for storm prevention. And really, our main focus is keeping them healthy so that your assets will grow, as well as the beauty, the environmental part of the equation. That we provide shade. A mature tree has the equivalent of about a one room air conditioner. So you can think of that. Not only is it cool, it's saving you money. So we're pretty much involved in all areas of tree care.
Very good. Aaron, we've already kind of touched on how you became interested in trees and why you've become an arborist. Maybe you could just say a quick word about what it means to be an arborist. I mean, what does one have to do in order to put that term right after your name?
Sure, thank you. Good question. So to become an arborist, one of the things that you do aside from schooling is we also have a certification that's put out by the International Society of Arboriculture. So Jeff already mentioned the Tree Care Industry Association. The other large arboricultural association is ISA, or the International Society of Arboriculture. It's a great method, too, if you need, for homeowners out there, if you want information on trees, go to treesaregood.com, and it gives you a lot of excellent information. It's not put out by a company. It's put out by an independent association that's trying to promote healthy trees. So they actually have certifications that you go through and you take an exam. You have to have had either schooling or a certain number of years of experience. Along with the schooling, you have some experience on top of that generally in order to sit the exam. And then once you take it, there's continuing education units. So I myself am actually a board certified master arborist, which is kind of the step above. So beyond that, if you have even more experience along with some schooling, things like that, you can go sit that exam, which is an extensive exam, and then you have much more CEUs that you have to do. So it's just a way of showing that you're definitely dedicated to the industry and you're interested.
Right. So there's a ladder to climb.
There's definitely a ladder to climb.
Along with the trees that you're climbing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I would add to that. I mean, that's the certification side of our – but being an arborist is really about having a love for trees. I mean, if you're in this business and you're in it for a career, you love working outdoors. You love trees. You love helping people. And there are a couple of things that come to mind about this industry. You know, one of the folks that I used to work with said, it's kind of like working in a florist. You know, most of the people you deal with are happy. You know, there's those occasions when a tree has fallen down and done some sort of damage. But the vast majority of time when you're talking to clients or potential clients, they're happy. You know, and the other one that I heard years ago is everybody has a tree story. And, you know, and I've challenged groups and individuals and said, do you have a tree story? And everybody has one of some type. So there's this natural, almost religious connection that the general people have toward trees. And if you either have that or you think you could have that. You know, this is a very, very good career. And along with people not knowing about us, most people don't know that it's a career. I mean, our average salary in our company is over $50,000 a year. And that is something that people kind of go, really?
Mm.
You know, because it's often related to landscape industry, which is also a great industry to be in. But we're a little bit different from them. We do different things. We have different levels of certifications, like Aaron mentioned. But, you know, and our number one problem forever has been can't get enough people. And it controls the size of our companies.
Hmm.
I mean, we had a growth projections of 11 or 12% in 2016, and instead we did 3 or 4%. And it wasn't because of lack of work. It was because of lack of people.
So that brings to mind the whole question then of what the job market is like in this field. You're saying there are all kinds of opportunities. And is this true just in this part of the state or throughout the state of Wisconsin? Are a lot of people needed in this industry?
It's our industry tends to be where the people live. So most of the companies are in metropolitan areas. And this is not a state of Wisconsin issue. It's not a United States issue. It's a worldwide issue. Mm. And, you know, one of the things that I talk to students about is, you know, get in this industry, get a degree from Gateway or another school, and you honestly can work anywhere in the world. Yeah. You can go to any metropolitan place in the world and say, I've got a degree from Gateway. Would you have a job? I can almost guarantee that. Mm. And, you know, the best way to describe what the job market is Mid-State Technical College has a job for every year. And at their peak, they were graduating about 20 to 25 people a year. There were at the job fair, there were usually more employers there than students. And employers from all over the country would go to, you know, Wisconsin Rapids. It's not easy to get to. and you know, companies from Colorado and the West Coast and the East Coast are there vying for those folks.
The good news is it's easy to get to Gateway, so we'll be bringing them here.
Yeah.
So Jeff makes a good point, though. It's almost almost counterintuitive because if you think about cities, most people think, oh, yeah, a career in trees, that means you must go up north, right, because that's where the woods are. Right? It's a little almost counter. So you have to really work hard to explain what the value is and how that can lead to a career. Here's a good example. When someone goes out to buy a home, probably their largest purchase, so they're going to plan to spend a couple $100,000. And so they're going to do a foundation inspection. They're probably going to do some sort of energy inspection, maybe even a roof inspection. But do they do a landscape or tree inspection? I mean, this is probably one of the biggest sales efforts is when they take a picture of the house and they show you the beautiful landscaping, and yet it's kind of taken for granted. So we don't want this profession to be taken for granted any longer. We want to raise the visibility, show young people how this can really be turned into, I think, a value proposition for them as a homeowner, ultimately, and as a citizen.
Mm.
One of the things I think is an important point that you were just getting at there, Brian, is especially new constructions, people spend lots and lots of money buying a home that's in a wooded area because they want to live in a wooded area. And then they come in and cut most of the trees down so they put up a house. So, I mean, that's always an interesting part of it. But then there's always going to be some trees that they're going to want to save. So they tell the builder, well, I want to save that tree. The builder says, okay, I guarantee you we'll save that tree. One of the challenges is following a construction, trees die usually anywhere between 5 to 15 years following construction.
Mm.
5 to 15 years, not 1 or 2 years. So when a builder mentions that they'll save that tree, it's because within a year or two, they don't see it die. So they assume it's saved. The problem is the damage done to the roots through soil compaction and digging and things like that, unless it's dramatic, takes years to show. So what you can actually do is hire a certified arborist to come out and help you with that building plan so they can tell you how far back the equipment needs to stay, what they can or can't do, help you put up barriers that then you can hold the builder accountable to. So now you can save those trees that you actually care about. And they can tell you, too, that if you want to save that tree and the building's here, they can let you know if that's probably going to work or probably not. Sometimes you can even just move the building a foot or two, and now suddenly everything works the way you want it to.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And the real estate folks tell us that somewhere between 10 and 25% of the value of a property is in the landscape. And so if you think about that, $200,000 or $300,000 house.
The homeowner, too, and then you look at municipalities and how we all enjoy our parks. Someone has to maintain those parks. Yeah. You know, the telephone lines that run down our streets, we depend on all of that, right? And so we see the trees that are cut around the telephone lines. And so just the idea of urban planning, urban forestry, it all fits together. And to help us, and if Gateway can be a part of helping provide a workforce that's going to be more effective and more in tune to what those needs are, I think it's good for everyone.
Jeff, is this work seasonal? I mean, does it ebb and flow in terms of how busy you and your employees are, or pretty much year-round? Are you always working at a fevered pitch?
For most companies, and I'd put that in the 90 percentile or above, it's year-round work. And most of the spring work is usually plant health care. Summer work starts to be a mix of plant health care and pruning, sometimes removals. A lot of planting happens in both the spring and the fall. Primarily winter is pruning. You know, that's a great time of the year to prune a tree just from a tree health standpoint. It's also a great time for plants that are on the ground are usually either dormant or have been removed if they're annuals. Ground can be frozen at times, and they'll make access to a property a lot better. So I've been in this industry. I'm 60 years old. I've been in it since I've been 18. I've never missed a day of work because of no work.
Right. There's always something to do. Yeah. And we should maybe mention, I hope this is okay, that we were going to be joined by at least one other guest today who cannot join us, as it turns out, because they are busy out there dealing with the dreaded emerald ash borer. And, of course, that's something else that is something we need to acknowledge that makes your industry, in a sense, even more crucial. The fact that now we in Wisconsin are facing this kind of terrible, terrible threat, and you guys are on the front line in terms of helping us try to deal with that.
And, you know, I'll relate that to our need for people as well. You know, our company has a consulting division, and these folks go out and help municipalities, homeowners, and bigger golf courses and industrial buildings and to do inventories. And, you know, one of the best ways to plan for the future is to see what you have now. And in those inventories, we find anywhere from 15 to 30% of the trees within community are ash trees. And every one of those trees will need some sort of attention. They'll either need it to be treated because they want to save them, or removed or replaced. And there are somewhere between 20 and 30 million ash trees within the state of Wisconsin. Many of those in the woods that are just going to die. But if you have an ash tree and you want to keep it, then it has to be treated. There are no options. It has to be treated properly. And quite honestly, if you're in Kenosha County, if that tree hasn't been treated in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, it's probably too late. So.
Wow, it's amazing. You know, I think about this industry and related to it's like a living industry. So if you compare it to, let's say, highway construction, you pour a concrete road, it's not going to change. Every year the concrete road's going to be there. Eventually it'll wear out and you have to replace the concrete road. But you can see the changes every spring. You can see the tree growth and you can see the health of the tree. And so it is something that you can't just do one time and think we're done with it, right? Every year, every season, you know, these are living plants, so they're going to evolve and they're going to change, and their needs and their expectations are going to change. And I just look at our own campus, and if we put a new building up and it blocks the sunlight to certain plants or trees, I see a dramatic change. And we got to change the whole, you know, the whole garden there as a result of that. And you know, they grow, they get bigger than maybe we anticipated. So now the window's covered, so we've got to try to make some adjustments there. And there's just a lot of dynamic things that happen in this industry that I think not only keep it really viable and in forefront of our needs, but also can be really intriguing for a lot of people, too, in this career. Because like a design, it's art, it's a creative process. And,
sure.
You know, there's a science behind it, but there's also a lot of other artistic elements, too.
Well, and the fact that it's this growing, living
growing living things that you're dealing with and different problems.
Right.
It's also what draws certain people into medicine same reason.
Sure.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking about Gateway Technical College's Urban Forestry Program. We have with us Aaron Schauer, who is going to be an instructor in the program and has helped put the curriculum together. Jeff Wilson is with us as well, the owner of Wachtell Tree Science, which is one of the great firms in the whole state when it comes to this kind of work. And, of course, President Brian Albrecht is with us as well. Aaron Schauer, so describe what Gateway's program looks like and the kind of things that students are going to be studying and experiencing.
Excellent. That's a great question. So one of the cool things about this program is it's designed for people who are either interested in actually climbing, accessing trees at height and working in them, or for people to say, you know, that's not really my thing. I don't like heights. Which, ironically to say, I mean, I'm afraid of heights as well. I always have been. If I get up, it sounds funny. I know, it does. But I remember the first time I climbed a tree, I was 30 feet up and shaking. And when I still go up on buildings high up, even with a railing, I'll lean over and I get just those jitters. You know, I feel it. And the fact is, when I'm in a tree, there's two things. One, I know the equipment. I know it's safe. I know how to inspect it to ensure it's safe. And I know that its design is so dramatically greater than anything we actually need to stay up in a tree that we can feel safe. Mm. One of the other things is I can understand trees. Somebody puts up a tower or something like that, and I don't think it happens much, but in the back of my head, what do I think about? Somebody has an off day, that bolt doesn't get quite tightened, it loosens. And if I tie into that, that's it. Trees change relative to weather patterns, but they follow a consistent pattern always. If they don't, they die. And then it's pretty obvious that they're dead. So I can read a tree and I know it will be consistent. It's a living organism that follows sort of a natural set of laws, if you will. So I actually feel much safer in a tree than I do in man-made structures. So aside from that, though, we were talking, if you're not into climbing, that doesn't really sound like something you're interested in. There's also a whole plant healthcare side of things. And so this is going out and identifying disease and insect pest problems, figuring out how can we manage this within the environment, within people's properties, within commercial lots. How can we deal with these issues? And so sometimes it comes down to soil remediation. Sometimes it comes down to evaluating girdling roots. Sometimes it comes down to injecting, as with the emerald ash borer, most of those trees, if they're over 10-inch diameter, they need to be injected in order to survive. And these are some of the things. Understanding the details behind how and why these processes go this way helps create the need why we need arborists out there. Because anybody can walk up and say, well, somebody sold me, I just need to treat it, so I'm going to go to the store and ask them what I treat it with. Mm. Your clerk at Home Depot does not have a degree in urban forestry or arboriculture. They can tell you what a product says, but the whole knowledge and the whole background behind it isn't necessarily going to always be enough to keep your trees healthy. Right. So this program is going to look at kind of an all-encompassing program with a lot of hands-on. There's always going to be some science involved in it. But it's not going to be heavy, and it's going to be hands-on working with trees, learning how, if you don't want to climb, you're going to also learn how to support somebody climbing in a tree, so you have to understand that side of it. If you want to climb, you're also going to learn how to identify insects and pests, too, and a little bit of the plant healthcare side, because you need to understand the other aspect of it. It can never just be one or the other, right? Then we get ourselves into trouble. Right. So it's an all-encompassing program to help students be ready to go out there and get a job immediately.
That's great. Aaron, can you describe a little bit about, is it a two-semester program, a three-semester, and then will students not only earn their academic credentials but also have a chance to earn some of the certification paths that you mentioned that you took when you went through your program?
Excellent. Thank you. That's a great question. So a couple of things. It's going to be a four-semester program if you enroll full-time. It will be a full four semesters. It's 64 credits, I believe. But beyond that, the cool thing is, if really what you're after is a four-year degree, we're going to be articulated with UW-Stevens Point. So you can actually go 2 years at Gateway and then go to UW-Stevens Point, do another two and a half years, get your four-year bachelor's of science in urban forestry. So if that's the route you want to do and eventually you want to be an actual urban forester rather than just an arborist, that's a great pathway to go. One of the cool things is what you'll get here is a lot of that hands-on knowledge to actually work out in the field for a company, understand the climbing and other sides of it, that at a four-year school, because it's more theory, lecture-based a little bit, you don't get quite the same extensive training in that as you would here. So that's one of the cool things is, aside from that, then also you'll have an opportunity to save a lot of money.
I'm asked quite a bit by young people, and I ask what career paths they want to go into, and I have a lot of them that just say, well, I'm going to go up to Stevens Point because I want to work for the DNR. They don't have really an idea what that means. You know, are you going to go into the water program? Are you going to go into the forestry program? They don't know for sure, the DNR. But this may give great exposure here for what it could be like to go into a field, any occupational career path that is directly aligned with nature. And so, you know, to start here, to gain those experiences, the sciences behind it can be transferable to many different career paths. Hopefully the interest and the, you know, the ability to work with trees will keep you focused in that area. But now direct articulation to Stevens Point and maybe other universities continues to be, I think, a viable pathway for folks that just haven't quite figured out exactly what they want to do, but they know they like the outdoors.
And another great point with that, too, is that because we are articulated with Point, we actually instruct in our program the four core natural resource programs that UW-Stevens Point teaches. And then those transfer directly to Point. So you go through a class that's fish, forestry, and wildlife. And you also take another class on soils and waters. So if you have interest in these things, you can get a background and an understanding of exactly what those things are and can help you hopefully decide if that's a pathway you want to go.
Can I add to that a little bit?
Please.
You know, one of the things that's somewhat interesting about this career choice is, and I don't remember the stat, but there is a great percentage of people that will work where they grew up. And a lot of those folks said, you know, I'm going to go to UWSP because I want to be a forest ranger, I want to work in paper and everything, but they end up coming back to where, and I think the stat is, they live within 60 miles of where they grew up. And, Brian, you might know
it's
the
true.
Stats better than me.
For us here at Gateway, it's over 90% of our students will live and work in our communities.
So this career choice gets you to do that tree thing, if you really like it, do that outdoor. And like I said, most of the companies, and I'm sure it's over 90%, are in the metropolitan areas. And so that can be attractive. And I know Brian and I talked about prior to this interview here this morning about the value of spending the first 2 years of your college at a community college. I've just had my second child is about to graduate from college, and so I know what it costs to go to a university for 4 years. And again, I'm sure you know the exact stat, Brian, but it's a lot more affordable. Yes. And if then those transfer right into UWSP, you get the value of UWSP at a lower cost.
Yeah, that's the key. It's about a third the cost to attend a two-year technical college, so you can get half of your credits here and not only save two-thirds of the cost, but transfer those credits into the UW and now have multiple pathways for a future career. You know, it's an interesting profession because if you like rural areas and you want to move away and be closer to nature, it fits perfect with that. But if you like the big city, boy, it's a home run because that's where the job market is so strong right now. So you can go to the Chicago market, Minneapolis market, Kenosha market, Racine, Milwaukee. They're all looking for folks in this industry.
One of the things I'd add, too, is even if you do prefer a rural market, there are still jobs out there. There's companies around Stevens Point where it is very rural. There's a friend of mine that runs a company up in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. He spans a pretty wide area, but he's got a huge company up there. So there's work everywhere for this because people have trees next to their home everywhere you go.
Right. By the way, so is there another industry that's not urban forestry? I mean, what is its counterpart if you're not interested in specifically working in an urban area? What do we just call that forestry? And then this other thing that we're talking about today is urban forestry specifically?
So that's a good question. And I think it gets probably a little bit confusing. Urban forestry definitely lands within the realm of forestry in that we're looking at understanding tree communities as they grow. if you were looking at the rural side of it, you would probably be looking at what we would term forest management. And then another side of it, you would be looking at logging. So logging is actually going out now into the forest, removing the trees for a wood product. A forester would come out then prior to a logging operation, look through your forest, identify what type of cover type you have, what your basal area is, or the amount of trees that you have within that land mass and what kind of species they are, and then identify with you how you want to manage that. When we're looking at that, then it would be, do you want to manage it more for an ecological purpose? So do you like a lot of wildlife, things like that? Or are you trying to get a high investment return out of this property? If you are, then it's removing a lot of your higher quality trees, leaving a few to seed in, kind of that method. So that would probably be your counterpart to it, but they're really very different in that we're both still give recommendations. One is focusing on the entire forest as a whole, where we look at the forest, but also very specifically at individual trees.
Right, like this tree has a problem, or we want this tree moved, or there we go.
The other part of that, though, is the job market for those, you know, and for about a 10 or 12 year period of time, I was advisor at the UWSP Forestry Department. And you know, once a year, we'd have a meeting, and there'd be a group of about 20 of us there, representing all areas of forestry, paper science, logging, all the different. And they usually start the meeting by going around and asking how the job market was. And I always sat on the end. So they got, you know, DNR, you mentioned, well, you know, not hiring. You know, and during recession, they went for a lot of years without hiring. Paper science and logging is the jobs are going down as the mechanized equipment goes up.
Sure.
And so it would be not hiring, hiring a few. There was a consulting group there. Get around to me, and I'd say, we'll hire all you got. You know, and for that.
So you're the most popular guy in the room.
Yeah, I mean, from that 10-year period of time, I worked for a national company, and I mean our company would have hired all of them.
Wow.
Every year. And so that's the, you know, the reality is that I went to Northland College up in Ashland, Wisconsin, majored in biology and chemistry there. Would love to be up there right now working. There's no jobs for a biology or a chemistry major, or so few that a 2.6 grade point average guy is going to get. You know, it's going to go to the 4.0 one.
Right.
But in this industry, we're just dying for folks to come into it. And when I talked about our association looking into this, we found newsletter from a company in 1919 or 1920 that says the biggest problem we have is can't find enough people.
Wow.
And I really want to speak to something that, that Aaron mentioned around, you know, this, this we're typically, when people think about our job, they think about the climbing aspect of it. And, you know, that, and Aaron mentioned the plant health care. Well, there's also the consulting side and being a forester for a village. And there's all kinds of jobs. But I really want to dispel this, this somewhat of a myth that that you have to be an athletic guy to be in our industry. You really don't.
Some of the jobs are on the ground.
They're not only on the ground, but now there's equipment that will get in through a gate in a backyard and take you up 70 feet without ever touching a rope. And, you know, and I climbed for a number of years, and I love it. But 60% of our work in our company is plant health care that doesn't have anything to do with climbing.
That's good to know. That's good to make sure people aren't operating under the misunderstanding.
Yeah. And the other part of that is about 20% of our field staff are women.
Ah.
And I can tell you, I've been on this for 20 years of trying to get more women into our industry. They're great employees. They make our business better. People act nicer around when you're a woman. I know that sounds funny, but it's absolutely true.
Right.
Yeah, you know, there's some things that kind of jump out at that. Not only are they out in the woods and in the, you know, urban areas, but they're in science labs. They're biologists. They're looking at all aspects of healthcare plants and, you know, the science behind it. They're hired by municipalities, so they work for city. They're city workers. They're county workers. They're state workers.
Right.
If you look at all the land development that's going on in the area, there's a lot of regional planners that could use this background. So there are a lot of aspects. And in southeast Wisconsin, we have such a high visibility focus on water quality. Well, this industry is dependent on that.
Very good. We have 30 seconds, Aaron, for you to tell people how to contact you if they want.